Okay.
Okay, Barbara's the next person on the list. And the last person on the list I would like to put.
Unless people want to speak.
Okay, about Frank's question, it's not easy to predict, and it is the kind of thing, if bills come up that are ours, that the national office pays, we will be billed for them. So, in a way, you're looking at this saying, well, we're nearly $7,000 close to being zeroing out our debt, but I cannot stress strongly enough how much of this debt that is represented in this report that has not been reviewed by your business manager, that no detail or explanation has been given for. So we cannot say that this is accurate. And there is a history in this account way before 2010 that is filled with unreconciled documents, general ledger, without any explanation as to what these entries really are. There are words there, but they don't fully explain what it is. I'd like to answer just a couple small things. One is, yes, the paychecks they do say Pacifica, but you can rely on it, Anthony, that the money that is paying your pay went from KPFA to the Pacifica payroll account. So it's KPFA money that's paying you. Also, I'm glad that Tanya had a conversation with Andrew outside, because I was going to report that he said the same thing to me and to our business manager yesterday. He was inching towards that as he found out, it's alarming to have them ask within a couple of weeks for $115,000. And the business manager is getting more and more nervous, worried about the bills that we have to pay. So he did express that to us. And in fact, the thing that really tipped him over the edge was that there was one more payroll check that bounced. And that was discovered just this past week. There was an employee, a work study employee, who did not deposit the check immediately, deposited a couple weeks later, which shouldn't have made any difference at all. But her bank returned it as insufficient funds. And this, our business manager has heard that the national office person handling the payroll account, I don't know how frequently this is, whether it's every time there's a payroll or every once in a while, or when the CFO says, is there any money in there? Move it out. But she sweeps it clean. So she swept the money out of there that would have paid somebody's less than $200 paycheck. And so Andrew went next door and told them about this. He came back to the KPFA office, and Maria said, well, what did they say? And what they said was, great big open mouth, we don't know. So another thing we know is that we found this out within the last month, that not only is this old account that's been accumulating interstation debts and loans and so on not reconciled, but the payroll account that the national office controls has not been reconciled for a number of years. Now, when we found out about it, they'd started reconciling. And the last I heard, they had reconciled up to about a year ago. So, right. I think that we have to have, we need more we need more of this reconciliation done in both of these accounts. And I think that if you were to pass this resolution, you're going to be supporting Andrew. He does not want to pay this, especially he wants us to pay what we owe, what's identifiable. But I should tell you also that we've heard that the general manager at another station is resisting as well because of being pushed to the end of their accounts. And, you know, you named, Jack named a little while ago, yes, we should pay our central services and we should pay the bill backs that are truly ours. But the first obligation is always the payroll and the taxes that go with that. So you're going to be in serious legal trouble if that is jeopardized. And I think that's all I have to say.
Okay. Pam asked for the floor. Andrea asked for a second time, and I just saw a hand from Sharam. So go ahead, Pam. Okay. Pam's called the question. Is there a second? All right, in order to close debate, two-thirds of those voting have to vote for this motion. So all those in favor, raise your hands. Closing debate. Okay, opposed? Okay, motion fails. Thank you. So I have Andrea on the list. Andrea and Sharam both are second-time speakers, so go ahead, Andrea.
I don't have the wording for another resolution, and I don't want to try to cobble it together here. It sounds, Barbara, based on what you said, that you have a number of I think, well-founded concerns and suggestions. For myself, I could feel better about naming the problem, naming possible solutions, and moving forward in that way. What I'm concerned about is that, you know, this, you know, the foundation is responsible for all five stations right now. And so I feel like it's impractical to wage this sort of insurrection against Pacifica. You know, if general managers, and I disagree with Andrew, I disagree with whoever else, that I feel like it's important to name it. I fear that if everybody says, well, we're not going to pay, that almost ensures that the foundation will not be able to continue. And so I'm of a mind to try to fix the problem, which I don't think the problem, I think identifying and fixing the problem. So if it means, yes, we demand that you reconcile the payroll, we demand better accounting, we demand articulated policies governing paybacks and this kind of stuff that we can hold you accountable to, I'd like to see something like that. You know, I feel like refusal to pay is a declaration of
independence.
It's a declaration of separation. And I think it shouldn't be taken lightly.
It's not open-ended, though.
And I don't think it should be taken lightly.
Okay.
I also am not sure how practical that is when money is not, if it's deposited. And maybe you can clear that up for me. If money is directly deposited, if Pacifica has the financial authority, the authority to go ahead and withdraw the money from those accounts, I don't see how this resolution is practicable anyway.
Okay. I have Sharam, Pam, Barbara, and Kate. Actually, Kate, who has never spoken, should move to the top of the list.
Please.
She speaks. Hand that woman a microphone.
Well,
give her a microphone.
It seems to me that I'm getting confused. There is a discrete amount of money, a specific amount of money that KPFA is obligated to pay as being a participant in the Pacifica network, right? I mean, and we were behind on that, and we are now almost caught up. So that can be put completely aside, can't it?
Mm-hmm.
So what's at issue here is the other column, the seemingly unaccounted for or inadequately documented legal fees and possibly other fees that you feel uncertain about. So I would certainly support some sort of motion that makes, you know, sets the intention to fully scrutinize all, you know, all accounts. But the fact that Pacifica has to move monies around, it's like, you know, you buy boots for one kid this month, you buy boots for the other kid next month. You don't, I mean, this is just, this is distribution of funds to, for practical purposes. As Frank said, we certainly would have not liked Pacifica to abandon us when we needed help. Why on earth we would draw this kind of ominous line of hostility about what is our fair share? I don't see where that's getting us or where what problem it would solve.
Okay. Sharam.
I have put together an alternative motion based on what I thought, my understanding of what the concerns were. And I was about to write it before you started talking about it. So be it resolved that, I mean, and I want to say something. I realize that any motion like this will have teeth only if it's presented to the national board. So this is for our Pacifica directors to present this to the national board. Be it resolved that KPFA directors on PNB present a motion to PNB calling for the following. All payment demands from Pacifica office shall be clearly identified prior to, all payment demands shall be clearly identified by Pacifica office in terms of what the intent of the payments are. What the intent of payments are. Okay? Sorry, I can't even read my own handwriting. Second, proper notification or Pacific office shall give proper notifications in advance to station GMs and business managers prior to any unscheduled withdrawals from the bank accounts of local stations. So that's the gist of it. We can massage the language if you want, but I think that's my understanding of the concerns here. Is that, I mean, we can
that
talk about it.
Represents the problem, one of the problems.
Okay. So now we're going to go on. We have to move now to a discussion of Sharam's motion. So, Sharam, can you? You'll write it again and give it to the secretary. Is there a second for Sharam?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Now he gets to motivate it. Yeah.
Yes, he gets to motivate it. Okay. Very good. So we're moving to a new speakers list. Sharam, go ahead. You get to motivate your motion.
I don't need anything to add. Unless there are questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Okay. Okay, so I see Tracy and Donald. Go ahead, Donald. I know, but I've seen you earlier. Okay, go ahead.
I think that what's absent from your substitute motion, Sharam, is that, as I indicated earlier, you should not be suddenly deciding you want $60,000 from us this month, $40,000 the next month. There should be a scheduled payment plan if, in fact, we owe you money. And now that money seems to be all of $7,000. So the issue is going to be, are they going to swoop in and take some more without prior notification to us, without reasonable grounds for them demanding more money? And is that money going to be used again, as it has been from KPFA in the past, to keep bailing out WBAI? And finally, the issue is, do we have competent management at Pacifica? Period. Because you don't do this kind of reactive kind of management. You have to budget 1, 2, 3 years out so you know where your money is coming from to the best of your ability. And you don't start starving one station to keep another one on life support. So I would include those if you want my vote on it.
Tracy, followed by Janet. Oh, I'm sorry. Donald, you're making an amendment? What is your amendment? Okay. Okay. Donald is going to introduce an amendment. Let me think how we... Yeah, we got to deal with him first. Yes?
then he's still got the floor.
He's still got the floor, except he hasn't written out his amendment yet. Donald, Sasha wants to. Go ahead, Sasha, what? She wants to make a friendly amendment.
Well, it just occurs to me that, you know, our IGM has said that he is thinking of rejecting any such requests and
resisting,
and that perhaps that amendment ought to have something that would back up the IGM, you know, KPFA's management, if they decide to resist money being taken out. And I want to make it very clear that my resolution never said anything about not paying central services. You know, it was extra demands from other stations. And I want you to keep in mind also that it is very much in lieu of the fact that Pacifica's ED has herself said there is no money to have elections. That is an incredibly dramatic move.
Sasha. Okay, enough. Donald, do you have an amendment yet? Sure. Wait, let's let Donald read his amendment. Okay, are you ready to?
Yeah, essentially. Andrea's helping. Yeah. So there are two additions as part of my amendment. One, that Pacifica Foundation cannot take money out unilaterally from the KPFA account, that a schedule of payments be provided well in advance on the part of Pacifica's management to KPFA so that we are not surprised in the future. And if they are not capable of such competent management, then an audit of the management needs to take place, and the board of directors has the right to remove them.
Well, we know that. Okay.
That's a joke.
No, I assume that, well, Sharam, do you want to include these amendments in your motion? Okay. Well, could you read your motion again, and then we'll consider Donald's amendments?
And a microphone.
Okay. All right. 30 seconds, he'll give it to Craig.
It's a substitute.
And it's
Donald's
written up? We're working on that.
They're working on writing.
Can't take money out of your letter anytime. Schedule a payment to provide one advance of deduction.
Maybe while there's a little break, I'll just remind people that those bags of grapefruits, I don't want to carry them back to the station. So feel free to grab them.
What? Where did they come from?
I picked them at my mom's house. So anybody, feel free to grab those things. Otherwise, I'm lugging them back to KPFA.
Okay.
You're good.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, good. And Sharam's about to bring his up to us. Yes, Jack.
May I add a comment at this point?
Well, why not? Go ahead.
Please.
I think it's important to make distinctions. What are the payments that KPFA makes to Pacifica supposed to be for? We are told that those payments to Pacifica are for the purpose of central services. All of the things that Pacifica does, all of the institutional things that Pacifica does for the stations. And they're listed, all of those things. What is not listed is bailing out other stations who are not making enough money to support themselves. All right? It's not listed under central services. So what I'm understanding is happening is that some of the money that we are paying for central services is going to bail out other stations in the network. If that's the case, what are the central services that we're paying for that are not being provided to us? And if there is to be a fund for bailing out other stations in the network, Shouldn't that fund be identified so that we know that that's what the money is being used for? I am not in some kind of principle opposed to money from four of the five stations being used to help out a fifth station. I think that's part of the whole. But I want that to be on the table. I want to know what the money is being used for.
Okay.
And I want it to be part of the budget.
Thank you, Jeff. All right. Now, here's what we're going to do. Craig's going to read Sharam's motion, and then we're going to hear Donald's amendment, and we will discuss and vote on the amendment, and then we will vote on the motion. And the motion is a substitute for Sasha's motion, so that in order to be able to vote for Sasha's motion, you have to vote down Sharam's substitute motion. Has everybody got that? I really, really, really ask that people not engage in any more substantive discussion if we can get away with it, because I think we've really talked about this issue. Okay, so now we're going to start with a reading of Sharam's motion and then the amendment.
So that's to completely replace
her? Yes. Yes.
Right.
Sharam's motion replaces Sasha's motion. And before we deal with Sharam's motion, we have to deal with the amendment which Donald made. Okay. This is really good.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so this is Sharam's motion. Be it resolved that KPFA directors on the Pacifico National Board present a motion to the PNB calling for the following. The purpose of Pacifica pay demands shall be clearly identified. 2, Pacifica shall give proper notifications to the station general managers and business managers prior to any unscheduled attempts to withdraw funds from the bank accounts of local stations in advance of such attempts.
Okay. Go ahead. Okay. That's Sharam's motion. Here comes Donald's amendment.
Right. And so here's the amendment. And this would alter Sharam's motion if approved. Okay. So this is going to be, let's say, number 3. That Pacifica Foundation can't take money out unilaterally, that a schedule of payments be provided well in advance, that a schedule of payments be provided by the Pacifica Foundation well in advance of deductions. Okay, number 4, an audit of the Pacifica Foundation be undertaken if such a schedule cannot be provided. So those would be in addition to points 1 and 2 on Sharam's motion.
Okay. All right. So we're going to, the first thing we'll do is vote on Donald's amendment. Tracy.
Well, not to recite the obvious, but there is an annual audit of the Pacifica Foundation. It's underway right now, every year, without any motions. Couple of things. Firstly, there seems to be some confusion about the running out of money thing. So for those who don't know, the Armstrong solid-state transmitter for KPFT in Houston completely blew 3 weeks ago. To replace it with a solid-state transmitter, which is what you will have to do, is, if we're lucky, $195,000. In addition, KPFK is in need of an additional Nautel solid state. They bought one for $92,000. They thought they could run on one with their old Armstrong for about 2 more years. That has proven not to be the case, so they are going to need to spend another $92,000 on an additional Nautel solid state. That's your $300,000 in capital expenses, totally unanticipated. While we did finally implement a depreciation allowance last year to replace used equipment, which some of you might remember, it is in no way enough between the five stations to cover $300,000 in transmitters that we must buy right now. LA is running at basically less than half power. Houston is running at 12% power. These are the realities. These are the realities. The election, which is likely to cost between $160,000 and $180,000, is not going to be canceled. I'm pretty clear on that because we'll be in court in about 5 seconds flat. However, to say that there is no longer money for the to spend on this is simply facing reality. In addition, for those of you who don't know, the building that houses WPFW is going to be demolished at the end of the year, and they will have to move and build out a completely new recording studio in early 2013. That is also a serious capital expense for this network. Other than that, I think that's it.
Okay. Sasha. Give her a microphone.
My notes for something. Sorry, thank you.
First of all, I would just like to say that being in touch with folks on the board in LA, that I am unaware of their having any transmitter expenses that needed to be covered by Pacifica, and in fact, folks are pretty clear about the fact that those don't exist. The other thing is that I understand from Houston that they got an estimate from their transmitter of $50,000 to $300,000. And I want to tell you, everybody got an estimate on their home for repair? You ever had an estimate that with that big a range to it? Please. The Washington, D.C. move has been known and discussed for about 3 years that I know of. It's no surprise. And I would like to quote Arlene Engelhardt, and with an exact transcript for a moment, about the elections. And this was just Tuesday night, which she repeated what she said the week prior, I believe on a Thursday whenever the PMB had their meeting, which was, quote, "We really don't have the funds for elections." And, let's see, and I realize that it is a bylaws mandate, and I realize there's every chance that we will be sued if we don't have an election. But we're sued anyway, so who cares? So, okay. You know, the language about cancellation, by the way, which technically I suppose Tracy is correct about, has been changed to postpone. So instead of having a bylaws in California Corporations Code mandated election this year, we're going to postpone it and have it at some point in the future. That means we're not going to have an election this year. So, you know, well, we can't conceivably do it on time, Ms. Rosenberg, because no national election supervisor has been hired, and he was supposed to have started on May 1. And that person then hires the local election supervisors. So guess what? There's no way we can conceivably, at be Tracy. Quiet.
Tracy.
There is no way that we can conceivably make the deadlines to have the election on time at this point.
Okay, now I want to point out that we are supposed to be discussing Donald's amendment, okay? Nobody gets to speak unless they're going to speak about the amendment. Would people like to have the amendment read again? The secretary will be happy to read it.
I will.
Yes.
Okay, so do you want me to read the main substitute motion again as well? Or just the amendment?
Just read the amendment.
Just the amendment? Okay, so here's the amendment. So it would add to Sharam's substitute motion, number 3, that the Pacifica Foundation can't take money out unilaterally, that a schedule of payments be provided by Pacifica well in advance of deductions from KPFA. And number 4, an audit of the Pacifica Foundation be undertaken if such a schedule cannot be provided.
Okay. All right, that's the amendment. All those in favor of the... What? What? We haven't had discussion? The motion to separate is always in order. It happens at the time of the vote. Don't worry about that. Does anybody want to talk about the amendment? Oh, my God. Okay. Pardon me. I really... Go right ahead.
Yeah, okay, actually, I'll make it very quick. You know,
I got Sharam, yeah. I got Frank, and there was one other hand, Anthony. Janet.
I'll make it very quick. Honestly, I'm not sure if the motion is compatible with our bylaws. In other words, I'm not sure if you have that, you know, you can actually stop the chief financial officer from... going into the accounts, you know, just because the business, local business manager doesn't think that's the right thing to do. So that's my, I don't think the motion will have any teeth. That's
okay. All right. Sharam, it's fine. Sharam said that he doesn't think that the motion is compatible with the bylaws.
I call the question.
Okay, there are three names on the speaker list. Do you want to call the question? Okay. Is there a second to calling the question? All right. All those in favor of closing debate on the amendment, raise your hands. Those opposed. Ten no. Motion fails. All right. Well, you want to close debate after the speakers on the list are Frank. Who is that? Anthony and Janet. Take Janet off. So we have two speakers on the list. You're making a motion to close the list at this point. Okay. Is there any opposition to closing the list?
No.
All right, good. So, Frank, go. Frank needs his mic on.
Sharam, looks like he just stepped out. But I was wondering if maybe part of that amendment might be able to make it like number three, because I understand if Tracy's correct that there's an audit. You know, you guys heard her explanation. So I was wondering if, but Sharam ain't here to hear me say this, if he'd be satisfied if maybe he just use number three and then not use the other two. But I don't know if anybody else would deal with that. That was another thing.
Second amendment, if you
want to. Anyway, so, and I would just hope that we can continue to discuss it a little bit so, you know, people like me that aren't exactly still decided or clear could, you know, help it out. But I wish Sharam was here to hear that to see. So that would be my thing, but I guess that would be a secondary amendment, whatever. So,
so never mind me.
Thank you, Frank. Anthony.
If I heard the amendment correctly, it seems to contradict itself. It says there to be no, the national office is not to withdraw money from station bank accounts, but it's to provide a schedule. So it's to provide a schedule for something that it's told not to do in the first place. So I think Sharam's substitute motion is fine as it stands. It addresses the issues that were raised.
Okay. I think we're ready to come to a vote on the amendment. Andrea indicated that she wanted to divide the question, so the two parts of the motion will be voted on separately. The secretary will read the first part, which we will vote on after he's done reading. For secretary.
Okay. So this would be number three, an amendment to Sharam's substitute motion, that the Pacifica Foundation can't take money out unilaterally, that a schedule of payments be provided by the Pacifica Foundation well in advance of deductions from KPFA.
Okay. All those, let me see. I guess we should do a roll call. Let's do it. Is that all right? We'll do a roll call. It's faster that way. This is Donald's amendment to Sharam's substitute motion.
And if this loses, do we go back to the original motion?
Yeah, that's right. Well, not if this lose, whatever happens. We either amend or we don't amend Sharam's motion. Then we vote on Sharam's motion. If it loses, we go back to the original motion that Sasha introduced. Okay?
And Madam Chair,
Hold on a second.
Would like to amend the amendment.
Oh, good Lord. Okay. Well, hold on a second. Let me hear what Henry has to say. So it has been divided into two parts.
I want to divide part three into two parts. There's two clauses in favor of one and the other.
I got it. Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. He wants to divide part three into two parts. Go ahead. So what would the two parts be?
Let me find out.
It's already divided.
Okay. So... So, okay.
Hold on.
We're looking at number three. Right? We're looking only at number three.
Yes.
And Henry has moved to divide number three into two parts. Right? So let me make sure I have this correct. So part number one would be, we could call this 3A, that the Pacifica Foundation can't take money out unilaterally. Is that right? That would be number, subpart A, right? Okay, subpart B would be then that a schedule of payments be provided by the Pacifica Foundation well in advance of deductions from KPFA.
Okay.
So we will be voting on those two sentences separately.
Okay.
Yeah, correct?
All right.
Okay. So.
Heads up, everybody. We're about to vote.
And you want to do a roll call on that?
Before we vote on it,
okay. She wants you to read it again. Just what we're voting on.
Okay. So we're voting on this one right now, that the Pacifica Foundation can't take money out unilaterally.
Okay.
Period.
Yeah.
Out of KPFA's account.
Okay.
Let's do a
show of hands.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Okay, so that's 11 there, and the noes. And 10 noes. So that passes.
Okay.
Oh, abstain,
any abstentions?
Any abstentions?
I'm not voting.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. So the second sentence, we're now going to look at the second sentence, which is that a schedule of payments be provided by the Pacifica Foundation well in advance of deductions from KPFA.
Okay. All right. Show of hands. All those in favor?
Okay, all in favor. Okay. Everybody's hands up who's voting yes.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Hold hands up.
Okay, 13 yes.
Opposed.
Five no.
Okay.
So.
Okay, now we're ready to vote on the second part of Donald's amendment.
Okay. So just so we understand, so we're back to the original Donald's original amendment because both of the sentences passed on number three. So both of those will be added to Sharam's amendment.
What about abstain? Abstain.
We're working on this on number four right now. We took number three. We divided number three separately. So we did 3A and 3B. Those both passed. So number three is essentially whole as it was before. Now we're looking at number four. Okay.
Back to number three. You need to count the abstentions.
I abstained. Okay. How many abstentions were there? Four of us who abstained.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
I mean, technically, abstentions are not counted, but.
But they are recorded.
Well, technically, they're not, but it doesn't matter. I'll add them in. So, okay, moving on. We don't have
moving
to spend
on.
More time on
yeah,
this. So,
please.
Number four. Let me read number four again. Okay. An audit of the Pacifica Foundation shall be undertaken if such a schedule of repayments cannot be provided.
All right. All those in favor of this? Roll call vote. Okay. Okay.
Okay. So are we clear on we're voting on number four? And do you want me to read that again or we're clear?
Yes.
Okay. An audit of the Pacifica Foundation shall be undertaken if such a schedule of repayments cannot be provided.
Okay.
Okay, is that clear?
Yes.
Okay. Agamir? Agamir, no.
Please.
Drake?
Yes.
Drake, yes. Fest? Fest, no. Futron?
Oh,
She's out of the room. Okay. Goldmacher?
Yes.
Goldmacher, yes. Con Hallinan?
Yes.
Con Hallinan, yes. Matthew Hallinan?
Yes.
Matthew Hallinan, yes. Johnson?
No.
Johnson, no. Coburn?
No.
Coburn, no. Kurzweil?
Yes.
Kurzweil, yes. Nor?
He passed.
Oh, he passed? Nor?
No.
Nor? No. Pritchett?
No.
Pritchett, no. Privis?
Yes.
Privis, yes. Rosenberg?
No.
Rosenberg, no. Russell?
Yes.
Russell, yes. Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer, yes. Siegel?
Yes.
Siegel, yes. Sterling?
No.
Sterling, no. Aki Tanaka?
No.
Aki Tanaka, no. Kate Tanaka?
No.
Kate Tanaka, no. Turner?
Yes.
Turner, yes. Wilkinson?
Pass.
Pass. Withers?
Yes.
Withers, yes. So Kurzweil?
Yes.
Kurzweil, yes. That's 11 to 11. And the chair, does the chair want to cast a vote?
Sure, I vote yes.
Okay. Chair votes yes, so that is 12 yes and 11 no. And any abstentions on that? No. Okay, so amendment number 4 passes. So in essence, Don Goldmacher's original 2 points are intact, and now we consider those in full with Sharam's original motion. Okay? So I will read the entire thing now so we're all clear. Okay? So, Sharam's motion as amended is, be it resolved that KPFA directors on the Pacifica National Board present a motion to the Pacifica National Board calling for the following. Number one, the purpose of Pacifica pay demands shall be clearly identified. Number two, Pacifica shall give proper notifications to the station general managers and business managers prior to any unscheduled attempts to withdraw funds from the bank accounts of local stations in advance of such attempts. Number three, that Pacifica can't take money out unilaterally, that a schedule of payments be provided by the Pacifica Foundation well in advance of deductions from KPFA. And number four, an audit of the Pacifica Foundation be undertaken if such a schedule cannot be provided.
Okay. All right, so now we're voting on Sharam's entire substitute motion with all
but,
of as amended.
But we can vote on those provisions separately.
Would you like it divided?
I would.
Excuse me,
point of order, Madam Chair. We voted.
I asked for the point of order first.
Okay. Hang on.
Sorry, President. I asked for the point of order first.
But I felt it first.
It doesn't make any difference. I asked for the point of order first, and point of order takes precedence. Okay? You cannot divide that question. You can look it up. You cannot divide that question.
Why?
We are voting on the whole thing. Stop trying to stop everything.
With respect, I'm not. Point of order. Madam Chair, my understanding was that we divided the amendment and voted on the sections of the amendment separately.
That's right.
Now, the question is, as we view them as a whole, I support certain parts of the measure and I don't support others. I feel that it's in absolute accord with Robert's rules to divide the question.
Wait a minute, I'm trying to read.
The previous motion was to divide the amendment.
When a motion relating to a single subject contains several parts, each of which is capable of standing as a complete proposition if the others are removed, the parts can be separated to be considered and voted on as if they were distinct questions by adoption of a motion for division of the question.
That's
okay.
Correct.
Okay. So here's my understanding of the situation. Andrea has made a motion to divide the question. Is there a second? All right. We're going to vote on that. If that motion fails, then we vote on Sharam's substitute motion as a whole. If it passes, we will divide the question. Okay. All those in favor of dividing the question, please raise your hands.
What?
No. I'm wrong. No, I just read it. I can tell you where it is.
Okay, so that's 9 yes.
How many those opposed to dividing the question, please raise your hands.
What is it hurt you?
Yeah, they're behind you.
5 votes.
Okay, don't get their little
Okay, all right.
Okay, so the motion to divide the question, I counted 9 yes and 11 no, so that motion fails.
Okay, so now we're voting on Sharam's motion as amended. All those in, let's do a roll call. Okay, Sharam's motion as amended, all parts.
Okay, so there are 4 parts, remember. Okay. Agamir? Agamir votes no. Drake?
Shocking.
Pass. Drake will pass. Fest?
No.
Fest votes no. Futron?
Where is she?
Futron not here? Okay. Goldmacher?
Yes.
Goldmacher, yes. Con Hallinan?
Yes.
Con Hallinan, yes. Matthew Hallinan?
Yes.
Matthew Hallinan, yes. Johnson?
No.
Johnson, no. Coburn?
No.
Coburn, no. Kurzweil?
Yes.
Kurzweil, yes. Nor?
No.
Nor, no. Pritchett?
No.
Pritchett, no. Privis?
Yes.
Privis, yes. Rosenberg?
No.
Rosenberg, no. Russell?
Yes.
Russell, yes. Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer, yes. Siegel?
Yes.
Siegel, yes. Sterling?
No.
Sterling, no. Aki Tanaka?
No.
Aki Tanaka, no. Kate Tanaka?
No.
Kate Tanaka, no. Turner?
Yes.
Turner, yes. Wilkinson?
Pass.
Pass. Withers?
Yes.
Withers, yes. Okay. And Drake?
Yes.
Drake, yes. And I count 11 to 10.
That's right.
So okay. So Sharam's motion as amended passes.
Okay.
Well done.
We just adopted Sharam's motion.
Substituted it for Sasha's. That's what you did.
We did.
No, no.
You amended it, you substituted it, then
you did call it a substitute motion.
I don't agree. I absolutely don't agree. If the substitute motion is passed, the original motion dies. I'm sorry. That is exactly what happens. I'm sorry. I don't agree, and I will not. I am not going to do that. Unless somebody can find it for me in Robert's Rules of Order, we are going on with our agenda. The next item on the agenda are committee reports. The first committee report is the PMB report. Dan Siegel, I understand you want to say something under the PMB report. Give him a microphone.
Well, let's see. P&B has been its usual productive self. We have had meetings, lengthy meetings, last 2 weeks. In the one meeting, we decided to have a P&B meeting, which will take place in Berkeley, or somewhere around here. And although it's not for sure, it's likely to be the last weekend in July. So that is one piece of very interesting and important news. The other interesting news is that the PNB voted to sever ties with Jackson Lewis. But the timeline for doing so requires an orderly withdrawal of sorts, which essentially means that it appears that they are going to be able to complete work on the 3 existing cases that they're presently handling for Pacifica. There will be no new cases, and we will not say anything mean about them for fear of either hurting their feelings.
I can
something to me.
Well, you better be careful because we don't want to either hurt their feelings or provoke them to lay down on the Pacifica cases or, heaven forbid, sue us themselves.
Okay. Other members of the PMB want to speak? Laura?
Well, we've already talked about that there was a discussion brought up by the executive director about the possibility of postponing elections or that elections were too expensive or for this year, that we weren't going to be able to afford them. And there was no conclusions to that discussion. It was just brought up when the PNB discussed what they might be able to do about that.
Okay. Anybody else on the PNB? Tracy?
It's on now? Okay, good. Yeah, just to be clear, California Corporation Code allows a delay in a scheduled non-for-profit corporation election of up to 60 days, so that would be all that's on the table. We're not going to violate California Corporation Code. There was a language related to the Jackson Lewis report out. Obviously, that motion passed in executive session. It's a motion I submitted that was amended. BAM did not abide by the executive session report out agreement that we made, which is unfortunate. The official report out should come from the PMB chair on Monday, but that's the gist. Other than that, I reported on the Houston transmitter failure. It is, by the way, impossible to fix for $50,000. People were hoping, but the reality is that running HD on a tube transmitter is almost impossible. Houston is an HD station, and if they don't upgrade to solid state, they will not have a stable broadcasting platform, and there's absolutely no doubt that LA will be subjected to shortfalls probably about once a week. They'll go off the air until they repair their backup generator and get their second Nautel. So those expenses are not flexible in any way, shape, or form. We have different understandings of radio technology on the PNB, which accounts for some of the confusion, and I apologize about that. But those are the facts in terms of those expenses. Is there anything else? There's a bunch of other stuff, but I think that's all that's germane right now. The other thing is the PNB meeting looks to be more likely on the third weekend of July. As the point person for the coordinating committee, the fourth weekend in July is looking like a loser in terms of finding a facility. So I think it's going to be the third weekend in July.
Okay. Any questions for the PMB representatives? All right. Thank you. Is there a report from the development committee? Is there a development committee? I don't know. Okay. Me either. All right. Personnel committee.
There it goes. Okay. I actually want to make a motion, and then I'd like to motivate it, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Okay. The KPFA local station board demands that the Pacific Executive Director choose a candidate from the pool presented to her and return control of KPFA to its staff and listeners. That's the motion. Is there a second? May I?
Go ahead.
Motivate it? Okay. I have handed out a letter here, but I think it's worth reading. I will time myself. On April 25th, 2012, Pacifica Executive Foundation Executive Director Arlene Engelhardt sent an email concerning the hiring of a general station manager at KPFA to the KPFA Local Station Board Chair, Margie Wilkinson. The email is brief and one that KPFA listeners and staff members need to know the content of. I will quote it and then place the email in context. Quote, after serious consideration, telephone interviews with all three final candidates for GM, and in-person interviews with my final two candidates, I have concluded that none of them is the right person to lead KPFA. I am committed to finding the right permanent general manager for KPFA. Perhaps there are one or more candidates that were not on the list that should be considered. Christine has a few resumes that have come in since the search was concluded, or perhaps you need to reopen the search. Let me know how to proceed if there's anything I can do to assist you at this time. In peace, Arlene. In mid-May 2010, the LSB elected personnel committee sent out notices to various media outlets, nonprofits, and political organizations announcing that KPFA was seeking a general manager. Applications were slow in coming in, so we kept the hiring window open for several extra weeks. The committee met several times over the summer to read and evaluate the 24 applications we had received. When the job application date was finally closed and the committee met to reconsider all the applications and to evaluate them in terms of the GM job descriptions as well as experience, background in public radio, etc. After many hours, we narrowed the pool to 5 applicants, set up interviews with each of them. LSB members gathered at KPFA to ask questions and evaluate the answers. The first round of interviews was held December 10th and consisted of 15 questions that examined a wide range of subjects, including experience working with unpaid staff, dealing with conflict, budget preparation, new technology, and recruiting listeners. A second round held January 18, 2012, probed applicants' understanding of KPFA's tradition, issues of diversity, working with the Pacifica Network, and gave the applicants an opportunity to ask questions of the LSB. At the February 4th LSB meeting, the board voted to pass 3 of the candidates on to Pacifica Executive Director. Under the bylaws, the job of the LSB is to, quote, screen and select a pool of candidates for the position of the respective station general manager, from which pool of selected candidates the executive director shall hire the station's general manager. In the committee, and then in the LSB's examination of candidates.
Excuse me, I'd appreciate it if members of the body would listen to the report. Thank you very much.
We carefully followed the qualifications set out in the job description and paid close attention to experience and background. But in her letter to the LSB chair, the ED addresses none of these things. The huge number of hours that went into examining the applications, draw up the questions, and evaluate the answers is dismissed with, I have concluded none of them is the right person to lead KPFA. Why? Are the qualifications wrong? And if so, how? Given that the committee and the board examined all of these. Right person is an evaluation? How are the committee and the board to understand that? The suggestion that there were, quote, one or more candidates that were not on the list, unquote, who should have been considered is deeply puzzling. How does the ED know that there are such candidates, given that there was a process that, by definition, was addressed only in executive session? Does she have someone in mind that was not included? And by what criteria is that candidate superior to those who are recommended by the LSB? To suggest that we examine late resumes undermines the whole hiring process and could even open KPFA to a lawsuit. If one declares a hiring period over, one cannot then arbitrarily reopen that process without making that fact public and allowing other candidates to apply late as well. As for relaunching the search, the hiring process took just short of 11 months to complete, and the ED wants to launch another. The KPFA LSB has done its job. It has presented a pool of applicants that fulfill the qualifications laid out in the hiring process. The station desperately needs a general manager, but the ED has chosen to ignore those wishes in order to continue with the Courage management that was hired without any consultation with the LSB. The ED has dismissed one of the LSB's more important jobs, the creation of a pool for the hiring of station manager, in 2 paragraphs. This is simply not acceptable. It is not acceptable to ignore and dismiss the work of the hiring committee and the board. It is not acceptable to bypass the bylaws to maintain management that does not have support of the LSB. KPFA is predicated on the right of local listeners and staff to run the local radio station. The listeners and staff elected an LSB to guard those rights. All of those have been eviscerated.
Okay.
I don't think your mic is on. My mic is on.
Okay.
Yes, I have a point of order. This is a hiring issue and should not be discussed in open session.
It is not. There are no names
hold on.
Used.
Hold
Excuse
on.
Me.
Hold
there
on
are no
a
names
second.
Used. This is all public records.
Hold on a second. Okay. You're suggesting that we should be doing this in closed session. All right. My feeling is that the actions of the LSB to forward 3 candidates to the ED for her consideration was reported in open session. Khan has not revealed any names or talked about any. I'm sorry?
No, Andrew named himself and
Elizabeth
named someone. Nobody else named anybody.
Tracy Ansari, the only person who... Okay. Virginia, you're not here. You don't get to speak, okay? Stop. You get to talk during public comment, not during our meetings. I'm certainly willing to put the question of whether this matter should be discussed in open or closed session to a vote, but I'll just tell you that as chair, I don't see that there's any reason to have this discussion in closed session because we're not talking about specific candidates. We're not discussing individuals in any way. We're talking about the hiring process, which seems to me should be a matter of open debate and which listeners have the right to hear our deliberations on.
Can you give a permission to announce the nature of the email that was sent to you?
I'm sorry?
Well, just out of curiosity, were you given permission to disclose the contents of the email that was sent to you? Because it wasn't sent to the entire LSB. I didn't say that.
I told Arlene I was forwarding it to the board.
Did she give you permission to do so?
Well, she didn't tell me not to. I told her. I told her that I was forwarding it to the board, yes.
Our listeners have.
Did she give you permission to read it into the public record on the LSB?
It didn't say, her email to me did not say it was confidential, did not say I could not share it with others. It was simply informing me as the chair of this body that she about a decision that she had made.
And are you aware whether the candidates have been told that they've not been hired?
I have no idea what the candidates.
So you released the email without even knowing if the individuals in question had been contacted.
Let's go ahead, Jack.
Address it to the chair.
Address it to me. You have to do it to me. You can't. Don't, Jack. You have to talk to me.
Point of order. If this communication had been confidential, under personnel policy, it would have been transmitted to Con Hallinan as the chair of the personnel committee, not to the chair of the local station board. The fact that it was transmitted to the chair of the local station board renders it not confidential under the terms of confidentiality.
I don't think so.
Okay, all right. Let's do this. Let's simply have a vote on whether the board wants to have this conversation in public or closed session. All right?
Let's record the votes.
And we'll record the votes. Is that all right with everyone?
Yes.
Okay. So those in...
You have an objection.
No, you have an objection to voting on it?
I think it's your call, and I think there's only one correct call.
Okay. Then I say we have this discussion in open session.
Absolutely. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Oh. What does it say?
Majority.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Well, my pal here says we have to vote on it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's all we're going to vote on. Those who...
Roll call.
It will be a roll call vote. Vote yes if you are in favor of having this discussion in open session. No if you are in favor of having it in closed session. The issue that I am putting before you is that this discussion will take place in open session.
Point of information?
Yes.
Do you have any relevant sections that help? I think just for the sake of educating our board about what constitutes open and what is required to be an executive session, do you have anything that might... Just rest on what authority... Are we going by bylaws or Robert's rules, or what are we going on?
No, Robert's rules.
I thought it was bylaws. Okay. I was thinking
it
was bylaws.
Oh. Go ahead, Dan.
The reason matters are discussed in closed session is because an individual's personnel information is private. It's protected by the California Constitution. If we discussed a particular individual's personnel situation in public, we could be sued for invasion of privacy. That's the personnel exception to the public conversation requirement. We're not doing that. This is simply a matter of policy or decision by our executive director. And we should all have a bias in favor of open conversation. We should only go into closed session when we feel that failing to do so will either create liability for us or disclose some business information that could be used against us by our competitors.
Okay. So the motion is before you. Yes for open session, no for closed session. Well, the Robert's Rules of Order say that it's a proper motion and that it should be voted on. Okay, so all those in favor of having this discussion in open session, please raise your hands. Oh.
Tracy, what's your hand? Is your hand up or down?
It's not up, right?
Well, I can't tell. Okay.
Okay,
now I can tell. Thank you.
Okay.
14 yes.
Okay, those opposed. Okay.
And that's 3 no. And was yours an... You voted yes. Okay.
Okay.
3 no. Abstentions.
I'm abstaining.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So Khan has put his motion forward. It's on the floor. It's open for discussion.
Did you move it?
Yeah.
He did.
You read the motion.
Would you like to hear the motion again? It's actually, you all have a copy of it.
You all have a copy of it.
It's in the report.
Do you have a copy of it?
It's in this document dated May 5th.
It says the KPFA local station board demands that the Pacifica executive director choose a candidate from the pool presented to her and to return the control of KPFA to its staff and listeners, unquote.
Okay. Okay, so the motion is up for discussion. No discussion? Okay. I see hands. You want to call the question, Donald? You want us to go through a vote on that? Okay. Okay, thank you. Will those people raise their hands again? Okay, Tracy and Sharon. Okay, go ahead, Tracy.
I know it's weird and all that, but do you guys have any idea why the executive director came to the decision that she came to? Did you ask her?
We invited her to this meeting. I invited her to this meeting to discuss it with us. Mm-hmm. She's in Los Angeles. I had a brief conversation with her, which was wholly unsatisfactory.
Well, but you are unable to replicate the contents of the conversation.
I don't think I have to, but I'll tell you that.
Tanya.
Yeah, I invited her to come to this meeting. She couldn't come. I did have a conversation with her. Sasha Futron and I met with her briefly and talked about it. She did not give clear responses about there wasn't any particular.
Yeah, well, I can't support the motion until I hear the reasons.
Fine.
In terms of, you know, another concern, since we're talking openly, I recall many comments from people on both sides of the wall, or whatever you want to call it, regarding the unsatisfactoriness of the pool in general, the thinness of the available candidates, the disappointment with the quality of the candidates who applied, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I am wondering whether, since we are putting this motion on the record, we might perhaps put some of those sentiments, which I heard from, frankly, the hiring committee itself over and over again, on the record, because it seems to me that since we talked about this at great length during the interviews that we conducted, that we're coming perilously close to demanding a choice of permanent general manager in which we, the LSB, were not particularly satisfied with ourselves. So I am wondering whether perhaps some of that might make its way from closed session to open session or some such material, because it seems to me that what we're doing is somewhat contradictory to what we already did. That said, I can't support the motion until I hear the reasons provided for the decision, which I assume I will have to hear in a confidential or closed session conversation at some point in the future.
Thank you. Sharam? Okay. Sasha?
Yeah, I just want to just second what Margie said in terms of how she characterized the comments. And I'd also like to add that I believe in executive session, when we did our interviews and when we had our discussion, that would have been the time to have not put together a pool of candidates. I think it's okay to say it was a pool of three candidates. And I think to revisit that question now, as Tracy is requesting, basically, is ridiculous. This board met. This board made a determination. This board did not say, hey, we don't have a pool here, and we're not sending anyone. That is not what we determined.
Okay. Donald was next on the list, and he wants to call the question. Is there a second to closing debate? Okay. That's not, I'll tell you who wanted to speak. Jack Kurzweil and Kate Tanaka, right? Whose initials are those? Okay. All right, so those are the people who wanted to speak. Donald has called the question. Do you want to do it now or after the close the list? I want to do it now. Okay. Okay. All right. All those in favor of and it was seconded, was it? Yes. By someone over here. Okay. All those in favor of closing debate at this point, please raise your hands. Okay. Those opposed. Okay, motion fails. The people on the list currently are Jack Kurzweil and Kate Tanaka. Go ahead, Jack, and Anthony.
Okay. I was president of my union at San Jose State for many years, and I was the grievance officer of my union for many years as well. And it worked like this. Departments, colleges made recommendations on retention, tenure, and promotion. They made recommendations on hiring.
Tracy, please.
They made recommendations on hiring.
Donald, thank you.
All of those recommendations were made within designated criteria. Here are the reasons that you have to give in order to justify the hiring, retention, promotion, or tenure of a faculty member. The president of the university had the right to reject those recommendations, but could not reject those recommendations arbitrarily, had to respond by saying that in his view, this candidate, for whatever, did not meet those criteria. He didn't have to go into detail, but he had to state it. Now, I know that Pacifica is not the university, but there is a principle here that I think extends to Pacifica. This board made its recommendations based upon criteria. The executive director did not explain in her response why and how it was that the people that were recommended by the board were rejected in relation to those criteria. She simply rejected them out of hand. Now, the proper procedure, in my view, would have been for the executive director to make an explanation as to why she rejected those candidates and make that explanation to the chair of the personnel committee. Instead, she rejected them out of hand without explanation to the chair of the board. She did wrong.
Kate followed by Anthony. I got you.
So to speak, to hear people talking about the, you know, the recommendation of the board, I was at all those hiring meetings. I listened. I thought everybody agreed that it was a frustrating interview process. It wasn't interactive at all. It was in the interest of fairness to people who weren't present that scripted questions be asked. It was really probably one of the most opaque kind of interviewing situations I ever witnessed in my whole life. But even that said, it seemed to me that the majority of the candidates were people who were just not in their league. I mean, they were going to be dropped into this snake pit here. I have no idea. I got the feeling that they had no idea what they would be getting into. I mean, people would make suggestions that indicated they just really weren't even in the same ocean, you know, let alone the same bay as, no pun intended. But so for us to act over here as though we're just perplexed, just, oh my God, our lead, I mean, she didn't choose one of these people. I just feel like it's disingenuous. It's just silly. I don't know. And then we're going to burden her with a requirement to outline her reasons specifically. I mean, that's, I don't think, it just doesn't stand right with me.
Okay. On the list, I have Anthony, followed by Frank, followed by Tracy, and Andrea Pritchett.
And I'd like to say something.
Okay.
That's where the bylaws are.
Okay. All right. Anthony.
Yeah, to continue what Kate just said, I fear if the ED had been more detailed about why she didn't think any of these candidates were satisfactory, if that was put in an email, that might sooner or later have found itself into the public sphere, and there may have been enough information to identify some of these applicants, and then we'd have more legal troubles. And by the way, speaking of legal matters, who is ultimately responsible for this foundation and its stations? It's not this board. It's the ED. It's the administration. If, you know, we can do our interviews, but if the executive director, in her judgment, didn't think these particular three candidates were satisfactory, that goes back to us, I think. We had a larger pool. We failed to include the candidate with the most extensive radio experience, inclusive of Pacifica network experience, and yet we're going to sit here and demand that the ED choose of this three. And finally, that last clause in the sentence, return control of KPFA to its staff and listeners, that's simply preposterous.
Frank, followed by Tracy. You're on the list.
Thank you. Put a little something down. I feel like if there was any uncertainty in the from what Tracy said, and I didn't attend all the hiring meetings. I unfortunately couldn't make it to them. But if there was any uncertainty at the pool of candidates from the hiring committee, I feel it's like tough to support the motion because whatever her reasons were for not accepting them, it sounds like some of the people that were even picked the pool were uncertain that they're qualified. And to hear Kate, who did attend, feel like this was like a kind of a flawed process, or maybe not so adequate process of picking the candidates. You know, maybe they weren't the best to lead KPFA. We all know how it is here and how we do gobble up the managers. So if there was a reason, you know, if you feel you need to hear it, maybe you could talk to a person. You know, I don't know. But I just feel like I can't support the motion with it might be an inadequate process or just not the right pool of candidates.
I'm going to make a substitute motion that the KPFA Local Station Board requests the Pacifica Executive Director to meet during closed session at a mutually convenient time in order for the Executive Director to report back to the entire KPFA Local Station Board her reasons for rejecting all three candidates in the pool that was sent to her. Okay. Because, frankly, I'd like to hear them. I appreciate the secondhand non-information, but it's always better to hear someone's reasons yourself.
Would you please write it down, Tracy? Okay. 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 Thank you. Yes? Who's calling my name? Okay. All right. Let's see. This is Tracy's going to make a substitute motion, so we will discuss that. And I'll put the people who are on the speaker's list now on the speaker's list for the substitute motion, if you want. Okay. All right.
Who's next?
I have to wait for Tracy's substitute.
Why is it a substitute in that?
You know.
Because it doesn't, they don't feel mutually exclusive.
What are you guys talking about? I'm sorry.
My question to the chair is this if actually a substitute
because
or...
Because she called it a substitute motion.
I see.
Well, generally, if it changes the...
You need to get a motion.
Yeah. I mean, generally, the way that it works is if it substantially changes the meaning and the results of the motion, it's a substitute rather than an amendment. My characterization is asking for an explanation as opposed to commanding the ED to pick from the LSB pool is, in fact, a substitute because it's a different thrust of the motion.
Right.
If there's a decision by the board that it's an amendment, you know, whatever. But I would think it's a substitute.
Okay, we all understand what. So now we're speaking to the substitute motion, and I have Matthew Hallinan, and then.
Well, I think that the original motion. I want to vote against the substitute motion because I think the intent is completely different. I have nothing against hearing from the ED, in an executive session, but. What we are reacting to is the way that the ED dealt with this problem. There is a narrative been developed on this other side that these candidates were totally unworthy. That is not the feeling of the majority of the people who listen to them, who are very impressed by at least two of those candidates. And the fact that the ED did not present any reasons for her decision is completely unacceptable to us. So I think that the purpose, the intent of this motion is, in fact, as a reprimand to the ED for the way that she handled this situation.
Okay. Andrea followed by... let me tell you who I have on the list. I have Andrea, Dan, and Khan. Andrea, sorry.
I'm going to say that ultimately I support Tracy's motion because I would like to hear from the ED. However, the sections of the bylaws, I mean, I think the question is about bylaws. And what I can read from the bylaws is it says one of our jobs is to screen and select a pool of candidates for the position of general manager of its respective radio station, from which pool of approved candidates the executive director shall hire the station's general manager. The LSB may appoint a special subcommittee for this purpose. That's Section B. Section D says that both the executive director and or the LSB may initiate the process to fire a station general manager. However, to effectuate it, both the ED and the LSB must agree to fire said general manager. If the executive director and the LSB cannot agree, the decision to terminate or retain said general manager shall be made by the board of directors. If somebody has, my question related to the bylaws is that I don't see anything directly, specifically addressing interim general manager, and I'm not sure if we're firing or if we're hiring. I think for myself, I find a bit of ambiguity in that. I welcome anybody else to direct us to the bylaws for guidance. And I would say that You know, whatever we feel about the pool of candidates, to be honest, I'm not sure that it's relevant at this point. I think it is a question of governance. And I think the longer I'm on this board, the more weaknesses I find in the bylaws. And it's really sad that I don't hear very much coming from the governance committee of the Pacifica National Board. I'm not hearing very much about ways to improve it. I think over and over again, we're finding the weaknesses in our process. And we are set against each other in debates and ways, but it sure would be nice to fill those holes and heal those weak spots in our process.
I just want to say that I appreciate Andrea reading from the bylaws, because I think the bylaws are clear, and I would say that the two sections that you read are separate. It has to, you know, one talks about how you hire a general manager. An interim general manager is appointed by the ED, but is interim until he or she is replaced by a general manager who is selected through the process described in the bylaws. The termination of a general manager is a whole separate question that has to do with firing somebody who's been hired. An interim general manager doesn't get fired. He or she gets replaced by a general manager. Okay. Anyway.
Do you have a bylaw section?
Yeah. That right there. What it says. That's it. Okay. So now I see Aki Tanaka. Dan Siegel's the next speaker.
Okay. So let me say, just to begin with, that I thought that I really identified with a lot of what Kate said, you know, and have the frustration with the process, and sometimes think that we and other potential employers are, again, maybe too worried about how the process appears to others, to the point where we don't do the best job we can do to find out what the qualifications are and really get to feel comfortable about people. And I agree with that. But to me, the bigger point is this. We have not had a board-nominated permanent GM in Berkeley for quite a long time. I can't even quite remember how long, right? I mean, we have a general manager who's interim, who was appointed by the ED. I think the experience has been very unsatisfactory for reasons we may either all agree on or partially agree on or disagree on, but I think it's been terrible. Before that, we had a person who was an actual station manager for just a few months, and before that had been an acting station manager for quite a while, and before that we went through a series of either major or minor disasters, depending upon your assessment. And I think that one of the problems with Pacifica overall is a lack of strong station leadership. And I think that having a leader who is permanent and who is there for a while gives that person the opportunity to really get things organized and to do something that hasn't been done on this station. I feel like we suffer accordingly. And notwithstanding some of the criticisms of the process, I think we did the best we could do, put in a huge amount of time and energy, attracted probably the best pool that we're going to be able to attract, given, you know, this job has a lot of problems connected with it, not least of which is how terrible we are to work with and the fact that we're not paying a huge amount of money for a very responsible job. But I do think we put forward a couple of people who could definitely do the job, and I feel like it was Arlene's job. It doesn't say may select. It says shall select. That's mandatory in the law. Everybody knows the difference between may and shall. And it was Arlene's job to pick one of the three people we nominated. And she should. And frankly, I care less about the conversation with her and whether we criticize her or simply ask her for an explanation, that's secondary to the requirement that she needs to put in a permanent GM, which I think is a major start for getting things moving here.
Thank you. Khan, followed by Aki.
We have a situation where we've had we've got this interim manager. Nobody even consulted the LSB about this manager. The manager gets here, attacks the majority on the board, says we're responsible for the fact that there's an economic crisis on the station. This is nuts. And the fact is that the two things that we're supposed to be able to do, to produce the pool for the general manager and a budget, those are the only two things that we're really taxed to do. And both of them have been removed from us. What the hell are we doing here? Spending 6 hours on Saturday talking to one another. We have no powers whatsoever anymore. This is crazy. The fact is that this is a rebuke to the ED. For the ED to suggest to us that we can look back at some of the people who applied late, I'll tell you, the hairs went up in the back of my neck. I used to be a manager. I was a provost. I had to hire people. One of the things you know is when you open a pool and then you close that pool, you try and slip anyone else into that pool. That's a walking lawsuit. I mean, it's open and shut. She doesn't know this. I mean, this is basic management skills. And I never took a management course. We need a general manager. The ED did a lousy job on this. And she should be rebuked. That's what this resolution does. It's a slap, is exactly what it is. We need to get control of our radio station again, and we've lost it. And that's a bad thing, and that's why we're in trouble financially.
Okay, Aki is the last person on the list.
I think we're sort of living in sort of a crazy schizoid world in a way. Like the other day I was looking and I heard that, you know, head of the CW union was in front of the KPFA saying to a financial boycott of the station. You go, what? Why are you going to do that? You know, the expenses of the station is so simple. You have paywall and fixed expenses and you do a boycott, you'll just be cutting your own throat. What is she saying? The other thing is that bylaws, Andrea, talking about the hiring process, remember that when we went through this, we have an STV because we have minority position represented anytime we have more than two people. We bypass that, as you know. So for them to say, we're kind of say that we're sort of like, you know, railroading things out of buying all that, well, that's what they do. So, you know, just keep that in mind.
I hope we're ready to come to a vote. The vote is now on Tracy's substitute motion. I will ask the secretary to read it. What?
Okay. The KPFA Local Station Board requests the Pacifica Executive Director meet with the KPFA LSB at a mutually convenient time in closed session to explain her reasons for not selecting one of the candidates from the pool submitted by the LSB.
Okay, we're ready for a vote. I assume we should take this as a roll call vote. Thank you, and I will ask the secretary to read the names.
Okay, Agamir?
Yes.
Agamir, yes. Drake?
No.
Drake, no. Fest?
Yes.
Fest, yes. Futron? Futron, no. Goldmacher?
No.
Goldmacher, no. Con Hellinan?
No.
Con Hellinan, no. Matthew Hellinan?
No.
Matthew Hellinan, no. Johnson?
He left.
Oh, Johnson left. Okay. Coburn?
Yes.
Coburn, yes. Kurzweil?
No.
Kurzweil, no. Knorr?
Yes.
Knorr, yes. Pritchett?
Yes.
Pritchett, yes. Privis?
No.
Privis, no. Rosenberg?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Rosenberg?
Yes.
Rosenberg, yes. Russell? Russell, no. Sawyer?
No.
Sawyer, no. Siegel?
No.
Siegel, no. Sterling?
Yes.
Sterling, yes. Aki Tanaka?
Yes.
Aki Tanaka, yes. Kate Tanaka?
Yes.
Kate Tanaka, yes. Turner?
She's gone.
Oh, Turner has left. Okay. Withers? Excuse me. Wilkinson?
Pass.
Wilkinson, pass. Withers?
No.
Withers, no. Okay. So that is... 11, no, 9, yes. And did you want to?
No.
No, you just pass. Okay. 11, no, 9, yes. Fails.
Okay. So now I hope we're ready to vote on the original motion. Will the secretary please read it again?
Okay. This is on page 3, the last paragraph on page 3. The KPFA Local Station Board demands that the Pacifica Executive Director choose a candidate from the pool presented to her and return control of KPFA to its staff and listeners.
Okay, are we ready to vote? The secretary, take the roll, please.
Okay. Augemeier?
No.
Augemeier, no. Drake?
Yes.
Drake, yes. Fest?
No.
Fest, no. Futron?
Yes.
Futron, yes. Gann's not here. Goldmacher?
Yes.
Goldmacher, yes. Conhellinan?
Yes.
Conhellinan, yes. Matthew Hellinan?
Yes.
Matthew Hellinan, yes. Johnson?
John.
John, sorry. Coburn?
Abstain.
Coburn, abstain. Kurzweil?
Yes.
Kurzweil, yes. Knorr?
No.
Knorr, no. Pritchett?
Abstain.
Pritchett, abstain. Privis?
Yes.
Privis, yes. Rosenberg?
Pass.
Rosenberg, pass. Russell?
Yes.
Russell, yes. Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer, yes. Siegel?
Yes.
Siegel, yes. Sterling?
No.
Sterling, no. Aki Tanaka?
Aki
Tanaka, no. Kate Tanaka?
No.
Kate Tanaka, no. Turner? Oh, she's left. Wilkinson?
Pass.
Pass. Okay. Withers?
Yes.
Withers, yes. Okay. Rosenberg?
No.
Rosenberg, no. And Wilkinson?
Abstain.
Abstain. Okay. It's 11 yes, 6 no, 3 abstentions. So that passes.
Thank you. Okay. Well. We have the rest of our reports. Outreach.
Outreach committee, we had some successful tabling. We're at the New Life Expo. Perrine Kelly organized a table being there. Was there for, I think, all 3 days. We had a lot of folks help out. I think Sasha's helped out. We had... Craig helped out, Tony, lots of folks. It was really nice that people showed up. And we were hoping to get more people to go into the phone room and outreach volunteers and so forth. We are planning to have an event, a training for new tablers, people who might be interested in representing KPFA at events, and so we don't call them the same people over and over again. So we're planning that for early June. If you'd like to join us and help to put that on, we're going to, whatever, train people a little bit in the history and just give them the confidence that they need to kind of do some of that work. That's going to be, our next meeting is on May 8th at 7 o'clock at 2022 Blake Street, and I'll send a little notice out. We're actually supposed to be having a training slash party for volunteers, outreach volunteers. It's actually June 2nd, so hope you can plug into that effort.
Thank you. Any questions for the outreach committee? Frank?
Can I suggest that maybe come by the station? Maybe we can make a PSA?
Great. Thank you. Technology?
I could.
Go ahead, Jen.
That. So the technology committee met on April 17th and once again did not meet quorum. But a motion was presented at the PNB on the 26th and passed that the tech committee will be allowed to operate as a task force until such time as the group will be reestablished as a committee. And so the next meeting as a task force will be May 15th, or depending on if there is a quorum, it would be a committee.
Great. Thank you. any questions for Janet on this technology?
What's the date? May 22nd?
May 15th is the next.
Okay.
I have a question. Janet, are you guys working with, is there anybody from the staff?
Yes.
Who do you have?
The national staff, Otis and John.
But locally is not, that doesn't include a local situation?
I don't know. Right now, that's not. Who has?